Good morning, church. It's a beautiful Sabbath, isn't it? It's good to see we have some visitors, and we have some regulars, and then we have some that are not here. You know, it's funny, I live on the corridor, one of the exits from Southern California. That's Highway 10, as you know. And I could not believe the traffic the last few days. I mean, it's usually pretty busy because there's a lot of trucks that go from Southern California to Arizona to other states, and they use 10. And I don't know where everybody's took off and left California. So, you know, maybe that's a good thing sometimes. But I know we have a number of our family, church family members are out. Sebastian is out. He's floating on the ocean somewhere. Anybody heard from him? Nope. Okay. He's supposed to be quiet, I think, about where he's at. But anyway, we're thankful for our men and women in service, who are protecting, our liberties here in America and also helping other countries protect their religious freedom too. I'm so thankful, aren't you? It's nice that we can come here and we can worship God in freedom. You know, we assume that that's just kind of the way it is. Because we've had it that way here in America for most of our lives, I think all of our lives, and we kind of take it for granted. But let me tell you, folks, if you've ever lived in a country where their religious freedom hangs by a very thin string, if even at all, you'll realize more and more, and you will appreciate more and more what we here in America have, and we should not take it for granted. Because it is not just something that the world offers to us. It's something that we often have to fight for. It's something that we have to believe strongly in. And so we need to stick with it. You're one lucky turkey. Ever heard that phrase before? Carol and I, Carol Spieler and I, we were talking about the title, and I was explaining to her, you know, where I was headed, and I had several different ideas, and it's good to have somebody to bounce that off of, and this is the one that she thought was a good one. One lucky turkey. I've heard that phrase so many times. In fact, when I was younger, I probably heard it too many times, because I did things that were risky, and like jumping off of high bridges and, you know, driving my car a little too fast. And I ended up in situations where, I came really close to really causing myself some harm. And so I heard that phrase, you're one lucky turkey. And I often thought, well, where did that come from? Now, I don't know exactly where that idea came from, but I do know that this last week there are two very lucky turkeys, real turkeys. And it's something maybe some of you haven't heard of or you don't know about, but every Thanksgiving or before Thanksgiving Day, the President of the United States pardons or sets free two turkeys that might have ended up on a table or at a meal. And this, do you know the names of the ones this year? They have names, believe it or not. Anybody? See, you guys didn't even watch the news. Like that was big and important. This year it was Drumstick and Wishbone. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a pretty rough name to give an animal that's been set free. Drumstick, I don't know how long he's going to. But I guess they send these turkeys off to some special resort for turkeys. So the phrase, you're one lucky turkey, came definitely true for two very big, fat gobblers. But I thought, you know, when you think about the events that take place in this world's history, when you go back and you study both secular history and you study biblical history, you come to the realization that we as human beings are incredibly lucky. Now, I know the word luck is often attached to concepts of, you know, when you're gambling or whatever and you're lucky because your luck was good or whatever. Or you're at a baseball game and the players have all these things that they go through, you know, to get good luck. Well, folks, ours is not luck. We are set free in Jesus Christ by God's love and grace and mercy for us. There is no luck in that. If it was just the luck of the dice, a throw of the dice, or it was just pure luck, then we would not have assurance. And I am so thankful this morning because, you know, we've been going over a series here the last few months on the Reformation because this is the 500-year anniversary of the great Protestant Reformation. Folks, if that Reformation had never happened, we would be very unlucky turkeys, okay? Because what happened through men like Martin Luther and Zwingli and Jerome and Huss and all those great early reformers was that the great tide of darkness that spread over this earth, it was called the Dark Ages for a reason. Because people had lost their religious freedom. And they were being dictated to and they were being persecuted and they were being put to death because they were following the Word of God. And it was being interpreted by a power that was not interpreting the Scriptures properly. People were taught that they had to win their salvation. They had to pay for their salvation. They had to do penance. They had to do all kinds of things. They had to pay money to have salvation. But that's not what the Bible says. Isn't that right? And remember we talked about sola gratia. Sola gratia. Sola means alone or only through God's grace do we have salvation. It is only because we have a merciful, loving, caring God that you and I can even claim to have any hope of eternal life. And of course, sola Christos means that grace and that salvation comes only sola through Christ Jesus. And who is Christ? Well, the Bible describes him as in many different ways, but we know for one and for sure that he is part of the Godhead. He is one of the three, the Trinity. He is the Son of God that came to this earth, took on human form, lived a life here on this earth, set an example, showed us what his Father's kingdom is all about, died on a cross, all right, and rose again, overcoming that dark death, that tomb, overcoming sin, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life. So it's only through Jesus Christ. Now, one step further along that whole process of Reformation is the concept that we become righteous. And we've talked off and on a little bit about the word righteous because like many words, they can change over time. And my day, righteous meant you were really cool. You were really far out. You were groovy. Those are all words none of you know. Well, some of you do. Groovy, you know. And it meant you were just a cool dude. And even the word bad today means different things. You know, if you're bad, that means you're cool. I think the kids, I don't know if they use that term. But in my day, bad meant you were bad. Okay. So words can change. The word righteous, though, okay, according to the Word of God, righteous is something that is attributed to, well, first of all, to God. And Jesus, of course, is the only sinless person that ever walked this earth, the God-man, okay? And he was righteous, and it was his righteousness that is given to us. Now, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, you will see that there were many righteous people, all right? But they were only righteous by what they did? No, they were righteous by who they knew, Jesus Christ. And it's his righteousness that is given to us. It was given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the list goes on, Moses, all the great men and women of the Old Testament. It is by faith, though, that they can claim the righteousness of Jesus. This morning, it is only by faith that you can claim to be righteous. I didn't say sinless. I said righteous. There's a difference, right? All of us know that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It means we all fall down and trip and stub our toes, stub our lives, but we can claim Christ's perfect life, his righteousness, his purity. We can claim that. We put it on like a robe. Okay? We put it on. It doesn't necessarily change who we are. Well, we are sons and daughters of God, all right? And we are asked to wear that robe. And when we wear that robe, then we are part of the family of God's righteous children, all right? So if you're looking to become perfect before you can wear the robe, ain't going to happen. But if you look to Jesus, who is perfect, he is perfect in every way, and he died on our behalf, we then can take his robe and wear it. It's called the robe of righteousness. Now, that was not the teaching of the church in the Dark Ages. But when men like Luther came along and they studied the Word of God, they studied the book of Romans and Ephesians and Hebrews and Galatians and Colossians and all these wonderful writings of the disciples and the early Christian fathers, they realized that the righteousness comes from God. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Now, before you get too excited about gifts and Christmas time, stay with me. Let's keep talking about the righteousness, okay? Now, I want to go back to the example of the turkeys. What were their names again? Drumstick. Drumstick and Wishbone. I don't know who names those turkeys, but it does make me laugh. Does the turkey know that that's his name? No. But everybody's standing around, you know, and they were making comments about how big and fat they were. You could tell, oh, yeah, that's, anyway. So those turkeys don't know how close they came to becoming someone's Thanksgiving meal. They wouldn't do too well in Loma Linda, but somewhere else they might do okay. They might become a meal, but not in Loma Linda, right? But those turkeys had no concept of how close they came. Now they're off living in some farm, gobbling and having a great time. But they came very, very close. And if it weren't for the president, who then, of course, said the words, and they were free. They were set free. I'm not trying to say that we're all turkeys today, but think of the concept. You see, we're all set, we're all doomed as human beings to die. And without Christ Jesus, we would be dead forever. Okay? There would be no hope for us. But the fact is that Jesus gave his life for us. He took our place. All right? So that we could have eternal life. He pardoned us. All right? He gave us hope of eternal life. And that hope is based on our accepting Christ as our personal Savior. But you've got to remember, it's sola gratia only. It's through grace alone. It's sola Christo, through Christ alone. Okay? That we can claim that. Now, I know those poor turkeys are off, like I said, in some farm having a great time. Had no idea how close they came. And I don't think very many of us know how close we come. I really wonder if we ever stop to think about what would have happened if Christ had never offered us eternal life through his blood and his death. You ever think about that? You have to stop and think about it because it is so far out there. And we're so detached from that. And it's only when we come close, as I did a number of times in my life, riding my motorcycle and dumping it on the gravel to avoid an accident. It's only at those times that you go, wow. But by the grace of God, I could have been one messed up turkey, but it's by the grace of God. You see, it's only by the grace of God. It's only by sola gratia that you and I can claim any hope, any possibility of life eternal. We need to think about that. Now, I don't know how many times in the last few hours, people have asked me the question, so how was your Thanksgiving? Some of you probably greeted each other this morning that way. How was your Thanksgiving? Now, usually when people say, how was your Thanksgiving, they are thinking about what, when, and where, right? Okay, what did you do? Okay, did you have cottage cheese loaf, or did you have a real, you know, the real turkey? Were you with your family? Where? Okay. Or did you have it at home, or did you go out to eat, or whatever? What, when, and where? All right. And they want to know what you had to eat. That's usually a big thing. I can tell you, I spent 7 hours making gluten steaks. All right. Not only did I make them for my immediate, you know, my wife and my son and my daughter-in-law and their family, but then my sister said, "Oh, you're not coming to my house for Thanksgiving. You have to make me gluten." So I made four batches of gluten. So that's why it took me 7 hours. Okay? And I took the big batch over to my sister, and then I took the batch, and then we had mashed potatoes, and we had sweet potatoes, and we had a cottage cheese loaf, and we had macaroni, and we had, anybody getting hungry yet? All those things that, you know, make you roll around all night because you got so stuffed full, like a turkey, you know? All those things that are so good, you know? And that's how I would describe my Thanksgiving day, about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, I guess it was. We finally got around to having our meal. All right? And quite frankly, that meal went quite quickly. The gluten went like that. No thought as to how much time was spent in making all that. Oh, there were thanks. Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Thanks. That's all good. That's all good. I do it because I love my family, because I love the people that we had Thanksgiving with. So it doesn't bother me. But it's so much like how we go through life, isn't it? We assume every day we wake up, the sun's up, the birds are singing, the trees are beautiful, the flowers are gorgeous, the spouse that we are married to is smiling and happy every morning, and I'm assuming that. And we just go through the day, we have a job maybe we don't, but life is going on, and life is good, life's okay. Do we ever stop to think that all good things come from where? From God, don't they? Even the country we live in, all right, is blessed by God. You know, some of you may question that, but the Bible tells me that God raises our leaders up and He takes them down. So let's praise be the Lord God, okay? Up or down, let's just praise God that we have a place where we can worship God, okay? But not only that, even the small things in life, our blessing from God. Do not take them for granted. This year, this past year, for our family, has been a year of several tragedies in the family. As started off with my mother passing away, and then my sister-in-law passing away, and now I've got a family member on my son's family that's got cancer, and I could sit up here and I could whine and tell you all kinds of things that are going on. But in spite of all of those things that go on in our lives, there's still a wonderful, wonderful silver lining behind the cloud. And that is that God loves me. Personally. He loves me in spite of what may be taking place in my life and in the world around me, in spite of the terror and in spite of all the wars and the rumors of wars and all those things that we see happening around us, God loves you. Mm-hmm. The sign of life. Isn't that wonderful? What a blessing. A child that has a voice. That's wonderful. God loves you individually, in spite of your shortcomings. All right? In spite of what you think of yourself or what others think of you, God loves you, just you, and He died just for you. All right? He paid the price so that you can spend eternity in heaven. And I can assure you it's better than any turkey farm that drumstick and the other wishbone went to. It is heaven. It is wonderful. It's where God is. And God is love. And He loves you personally. Bible says Christ came and He died for us while we were yet turkeys. Now, we used to use that word on each other, too, as college students. You know, you see, you're just a turkey. I don't know why we used it, but anyways. The point being that even in spite of our condition, even in spite of who we think we are or what we think we are or what the world thinks we are, the bottom line is that God sees you as His child, personally, loves you, cares for you, and gave the supreme sacrifice so that you can spend eternity in heaven. All right, I'm not gonna take up the whole time because I wanna just go from the question, you know, how was your Thanksgiving, to what are you thankful for? What are you personally thankful for? That's why I'm using this mic. I'm gonna open up the floor. We're a family, we're a small group, we don't have to be shy. What are you personally thankful for? All right? You're my little grandson, Sean. I love giving gifts to Sean, mainly because I'm so far away. And thanks to Amazon, I can look on pages and pages and pages of toys or whatever, and I can pick something, and it's there within a day or two, or less sometimes. It's there. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. So, when he calls me, he'll call me. And he'll say, "Grandpa, thank you." Well, that feels good. Yeah, he got his gift, and he's happy, and he's smiling. But I always ask him, "Sean, what are you thankful for? What? What happened?" Just teasing him. Because I want to hear. I want to hear, "Oh, Grandpa, that Lego that you sent me, the what do they call those Star Wars fighter planes? What are they? What are they called? Come on, somebody help me. Anyway, you know the name. Oh, I got one of those, and I'm putting it together, and oh, it's so cool." And he describes it. He goes on and on about how neat it is and all. You see, God is no different, folks, than we are. We can say, "Oh, thank you." We can sing about it. We can pray by the bed and say, "Thank you, God, for all your wonderful blessings. Good night." Really? Is that it? I can imagine God sitting up there, "Huh, boy, another one of those prayers." He appreciates our prayers. We need to be a little more personal than that with God, really. Come on. He created us in His image, didn't He? In the image of God. We like to hear nice things, don't we? We like people to be more specific with us. So don't you think God likes us to be specific? You know, He doesn't want one of those, "Now I lay me down to sleep, you know, good night, God." He wants to hear a little bit about, "Oh, God, thank you so much for the beautiful flowers in the yard that are blooming out there, you know, and the neighbors stopped picking them, so now I can enjoy them." You know, He wants to hear a little more. "Thank you for the little dog that I have that wakes me up every morning by dashing into the room and pouncing on the bed and jumps right on my face and licks my face. I have a little dog that does that now on a routine." And the first thought that goes through my mind is, "Oh, come on, let me sleep another 5 minutes." But then I go, "No, this is a wonderful blessing. Thank you for little Javi." You know, Javi's just full of it. You know, and it reminds me of the days when I had little kids, and the first thing they did was run into the room and jump on the bed and start leaping and wrestling on the bed. And I miss those days. That's why I have Javi. But these are all blessings. I know some of the parents are probably saying, I don't know. You know, I probably won't. Yeah, you will. You'll miss those. You'll miss those little acts, those little things that maybe at 6 in the morning is annoying now. But later on, you'll wish you had them still. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, it reminds me, you know, God's waiting. He is waiting for the day when you are right there in heaven. It's not some distant, you know, prayer, but you're right there in heaven and you're right before His throne. And you can hardly wait to personally thank God. Personally thank Him. Eye to eye. Face to face. There's songs we sing about, face to face shall I behold Him. Yeah, that's for real, folks. That's a real thing. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be good for us to start now. By the way, He is present here. He's here. You're going, where? He's here. Believe me, He's here. He's present. His Spirit is here. You want to share something with Him this morning? Just raise your hand. Who wants to be first? Anybody? Okay, right here.
I'm just thankful for everything He does for me, as far as the smallest things to the biggest things. Even when I am in my lowest times in life, I still find enough energy or enough, you know, will to call upon Him. And when I do that, no matter what the case may be, I feel the Holy Spirit lift me up out of it. Amen. And I'm thankful for that every day.
Thank you for the power of God in our lives. Anybody else want to just raise your hand where you are? Anybody? Here we go, Lex.
I am thankful for the knowledge that every single person, my mom, family, my friends, my church family, pastor, even bystanders, are all gifts from the King Himself. Every single person. I'm thankful that He made everyone the way they are, so unique that we can all be friends and get to know everyone, and they're all creatures of Him. So,
that's right. No two people are the same. Even twins, they're not the same.
I am thankful that He gives me a heart that loves Him, and that He's revealed Himself to me so many times, and that He, no matter what you're going through, you feel the blessings, if bad or good. It's all just, it's a blessing to be alive with His gift.
Amen. Anybody else? There we go. You remember, you know, David, a lot of us are like David, you know. We, during the hard times, we wonder where God is, but then, you know, God reveals Himself and we get all excited.
Hi, good morning. I have been learning the scriptures from a child, but for the past 2 weeks, I have been alone in the house. And I actually got to read a translation that is more modern. And I was reading, and it was becoming more and more clear to me. And I actually thank God for that. I appreciate the time alone with Him, because sometimes you're around family, you can get distracted and busy, but I am grateful for that. Amen. And I always enjoy also visiting San Diego. So I'm glad that I'm able to be here today.
Great. Sometimes time alone is often, you know, God can get our attention and undivided attention, and it's good to have that. Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, okay. Here, starting this side.
Happy Sabbath. I'm thankful because I'm not going to say this without choking up, that John is alive today. And she don't pass through. Almost passed away 3 years ago. And on Thanksgiving Day, one of the policemen, who was a first responder, and helped give John CPR, he showed up to say hello. We're still friends with the two police officers, and it was good seeing Jake. And he has a family now. He got married and has a child of his own. And we were just grateful to see him. And you hear stories about police officers that are not favorable to them. But you don't hear too much about the good. So we're thankful for these two police officers that helped me on that morning. And John's here today.
Amen. Wow, I wish I could meet them, and I'll give them the thank you, too. It's good to have John here. Most of you probably know that, you know, John, well, there were two policemen that came and gave him CPR, and if it weren't for that, well, we may not have John. John, we're glad to have you here.
Idea where they were going at the time. Their whole system crashed, and they kind of like, I think it's here, and they just stopped and so happened to knock on the door, and we were there, and Diana let them in, and that was it. They just made the right turn at the right time. And
did you all hear that? That the police, their system crashed. They weren't sure exactly where to go, and it just so happened they were at their home and went and knocked on the door, and it was, they were exactly at the right place. Well, you know, that says so much for GPS, but we have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit knew where to take them. Praise God for that. Thank you. Over here, we have one more.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Today, I wanted to thank God for our life, because we don't know sometimes how many people they don't eat, how many people they don't have clothes, they don't have where to live, where to sleep. And every day I thank God for my food, for my husband, for my father-in-law, for my kids, but especially like 3 years ago, they was working, and he got a stroke, my father-in-law. And he's a real miracle, because my husband was driving like crazy in the 67 freeway, and he doesn't know if he's going to make it. So he called 911, and they come to help him. And they take him to the hospital. He stayed like 21 days in coma. And I tell him every time, Jesus was waiting for you, because he always go to church the whole life with my husband's mom. And he always give money for it. The youth group, for families, for people. He helped a lot. He goes on time to church, but he never went to baptize. So when we started talking to him about the Baptist, and finally he got Baptist after the miracle, because Jesus is the only reason who help us every day, and he's the reason why we are here right now. Yeah, I'm happy for that. And thank God for all you guys, because you are my brothers and sisters.
Thank you. That's thank you for sharing that story. Wow. We'll just keep praying that God will continue to bring health and life to you. It's wonderful. Yes. Anybody else want to share? Okay, right here.
First of all, thank God, and I want to thank Jesus Christ for this experience. I also wanted to thank the unsung heroes, as well as the heroes of this book, mm-hmm. and all of the diligence and all of the sacrifices made to record these moments to bring it to be the greatest book ever written.
Amen. Thank God. Isn't that beautiful? You know, we look at the Bible, and you realize that everybody in the Bible were humans, just like us, just walking through life at a different time. And it's all recorded for us to read because it's there to encourage us. And there will be a day when we get to heaven where there will be an extended Bible, where we'll be able to see the lives, our lives and our friends' lives, and it will be a wonderful storybook, won't it? We'll be able to share those stories. I'm sure I'm going to remember everything that's happened on this earth, because that will be a story that I can tell, the plan of salvation and how it worked in my life. Yes.
So my dad wasn't raised Adventist, and he married my mom, who was raised Adventist. They met probably 35 years ago. And 35 years, my mom prayed for my dad, and this past week, on Wednesday, he was baptized, finally. So praise that was... Lord. I still can't believe it. It was pretty amazing.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, isn't it interesting how we have our own idea of when things should happen, and the faithfulness of praying and praying and praying and praying and not happening, then all of a sudden, the Spirit comes and just works in the life of your father-in-law. Or father, your father. And then, you know, it's like, okay, God, you got your own plan. You do it when it needs to happen. But we have to have more faith in the Holy Spirit and what it's doing. That's wonderful. What a wonderful testimony. Thank you. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. Something you're thankful? Yes, here we go. Right here.
I thank God for His love for us. He sent His only begotten Son to come and suffer and die for us. We have to be so thankful. Let's all make up our mind to love Him, to see Him face to face.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Yeah, that's a beautiful appeal to all of us. All of us make sure that we make up our mind to follow Jesus, because someday we get to see Him face to face. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that? And even Moses wasn't allowed to see God's face. You know, but we're promised that we will someday in our new body, in the glorified body, we'll be able to do that. Isn't that wonderful? And worship God. I mean, we worship Him here, and I know some of us, we got to really stretch our imaginations, but the fact is that when we're worshiping here, we're worshiping God, and when we get to heaven, it's going to be the same. It's just that we're going to be with a lot more people, and it's going to be way beyond what we can imagine, way, way, way beyond. I'm looking forward to that. Are you all looking forward to that? I am. I'm planning on being there, and it's going to be a wonderful day, isn't it, when we can do that. So as we look at their passage of scripture briefly, let's just take a quick look again at this scripture that, was read here. In Colossians, just want to point a couple things out before we close here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ. You know, when Jesus left this earth, he told his disciples, "My peace I give you." Some of you may not feel like there's a lot of peace going on in your life. In fact, there might be a lot of turmoil, a lot of confusion, a lot of frustration. I don't know what you're going through, but remember that the peace that Jesus is offering is His peace, and it's a gift. Okay? And if you're not good at receiving gifts, well, you can start now. Accept the gift, okay, of Jesus' peace. Now, remember, we've talked about this whole idea of, you know, you got the prefrontal lobe and you've got the ganglia. And in between there, there's, for some of us, a bigger gap than others, maybe. I don't know. I hope it's not too big of a gap. But in between there is faith, all right? And it's by faith. It's not by what you see or what maybe you're experiencing, but it's by faith. And faith goes beyond sight, and it goes beyond experience. Faith is something that you reach out for, and you say, God, by faith I believe. Okay? By faith I believe. And so it's in our faith, okay, that we can accept the peace that Christ offers us. Since as members of one body, we are members of one body. Okay? It's the church is the body of Christ. Okay? Each of us has a different role to play. Okay? And then It says we, by, as members of one body, we are called to peace. So in a world of confusion, a world of frustration, a world of chaos, we are the body, the peaceful body of Christ. Let's put it that way. Okay? I know, we gotta work at it. Some of us have personalities that create chaos. Okay? That's okay. It's alright. Some of us create our own chaos. I'm good at that. Hey. I'm a sanguine, what can I say? Choleric sanguine, oof. But the peace that I can have is not my peace, it's the peace that Christ gives me. And how do I get that peace? By reading His Word. His Word is full of promises, full of blessings. So if I don't read the Word, I'm not going to have a whole lot of peace, am I? So I need to get that peace, and I get it from the Word of God, and I get it through the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And all of that pushes out my human nature, my human personalities, flaws, okay? It says, yeah, Glenn, yeah, you know, you're in the freeway and you're going 80 miles an hour and there's cars all around you swerving and honking and beeping and off, and you just need to have the peace of Christ. Just stay at 75. And know that Christ is with you. I have a co-pilot. It's my angel. Sometimes he has to fly pretty fast to catch up, but it's the peace that dwells in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, through hymns, through songs from the Spirit. Songs from the Spirit. You mean there's a difference between the hymns and the songs of the Spirit and the psalms? Yes, okay. As you sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Sometimes it's hard to choke out those hymns and those songs because sometimes our hearts aren't full of gratitude. But I can assure you, it's a proven fact now, scientifically, medically proven fact, that people whose hearts are full of gratitude to God live longer. Well, what about some of us that don't live so long? Let's just accept the fact that if you want to live a life that is healthy and wealthy, and I'm not talking about money wealth, I'm just talking about a life that is full, you need to add to your life gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Proven fact. Psychologically, medically, you are going to be a happier, better person if you show thanksgiving to your higher power. I'm using a secular term because that's how they couch their terms. But I know who that higher power is. It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? All right. Yeah, but Pastor, I woke up this morning and I blah, 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 and I don't feel very grateful. Okay, well, start off by saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And God says, for what? Answer Him. You all did just now. Specific thanks. Sing to Him with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Giving thanks. Yes, Thanksgiving is about people coming to America, immigrants coming to America. It's about people finding religious liberty and freedom. It's about all those things. It's about, yeah, it's about turkeys. It's about having Thanksgiving. It's about having cottage cheese roast. It's about having families together in one place. But more importantly, it's about salvation through Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful. Father, this morning we're so full of thanksgiving because You saved us. You saved us from death. You saved us from hell. You saved us even when we were not really very good people, you saved us because you loved us through Jesus Christ. And we accept that salvation. We accept that pardon. We accept the fact that even when we were sinners, you died for us. And because of that, we have righteousness through Jesus Christ. We wear that robe, and only those who wear that robe of Christ's righteousness can enter in and be a part of that great wedding feast. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.